Sodom and Gomorrah. So the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just in the Bible. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just in the Bible for us to know. It's in the Bible for us to learn from. It's in the Bible for us to learn from, and so that we can know what is expected to happen to mankind. Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of two things, such that whenever you hear the mention of Sodom and Gomorrah, your mind will go to something. One, it is a symbol of a society that is totally far from God, completely morally depraved, completely immoral. It's a symbol of a perverse society. Whenever you hear Sodom, that is the first thing that comes to your mind. In fact, from the word Sodom, they got a word called sodomy, in which they used to tag homosexuals. So Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of something bad, a symbol of immorality, a symbol of a society that is completely godless. It's a symbol of a society that is far from God, that is hostile towards God. But not just that. It is also the symbol of something else. It is the symbol of divine judgment. It's a symbol of divine retribution. It's a symbol of the wrath of God. So when you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, the second thing that comes to your mind is, oh, those cities that God judged in his wrath. So when God refers to a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, he's saying, I am fed up with your nonsense. I am fed up with your evil. I am fed up with your lifestyle. I have sentenced you to judgment. Praise God. That is the meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah. A symbol of immorality, a symbol of an hostile environment towards God, and a symbol of divine punishment. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That was God's commentary about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so wicked that God was fed up with them. They prospered in sin and iniquity. That God said, no, I must judge these nations. But Sodom and Gomorrah is also significant. It signifies a completely depraved society. It signifies a society that is completely far from God and a society that is ripe for judgment. Amen. Pride. When they go to a state where they feel they don't need God, when man becomes independent of God, it becomes pride. And that was the sin of Sodom. Fullness of bread is just about materialism and earthly things. An abundance of idleness. The adage that says an idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. She was in hand, and she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That means there was greediness and covetousness everywhere. So it's not just homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah had sins they committed. Homosexuality was only one of them. So Sodom and Gomorrah symbolizes a society that is in enmity with God, and a society that is set for divine judgment. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be bought back. It cannot be forgiven. When God referred to Jerusalem as Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately judgment followed. So when God refers to a generation or a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, that means judgment is sure, judgment is certain. There's no repentance for them again. Mercy cannot prevail again over them. So it's a very, very bad state of mankind if God should call us Sodom and Gomorrah. Righteousness is a function of truth. The foundation of righteousness is what? Truth. Without truth, there can be no righteousness. And when I say truth, I'm talking of the word of God. That means truth was scarce. Where truth is scarce, righteousness will be scarce. Where truth is missing, righteousness will be missing. Where truth is prevailing, righteousness will be prevailing. If there is no truth, there is no righteousness. So when he's saying, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it's to let you know that truth will be scarce. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sensitivity is what will make you know your spiritual state and condition, and it will also help you know when God is on the move. Amen. Lot was so sensitive, so he received the angels, and the angels told him their mission. They told him their mission. We are here. We are sent by God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They made him know that they've come for divine judgment. See what his sensitivity procured for him. Salvation. Praise the Lord. Because he was sensitive, he believed them. He did not doubt their message. He believed them. He accepted them. And he acted on what they said. Praise the Lord. That sensitivity is an evidence of the Holy Ghost. But let's see something in Genesis 19. They told him, they gave him a message. A message for escape. A message of escape. Verse 17. Genesis 19, 17. Okay. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for their life. Escape for their life, Lot. Now look at the charges, the commandment they gave him. One, look not behind thee. Two, neither stay thou in all the plain. Then three, escape to the mountain. Let's hold that. I want to bring out something. Lot had children in Sodom. Praise God. Do we know? Praise the living God. Lot had children in Sodom. He had some that were in his house with him. Two daughters, virgins. Because when the men of Sodom came and said he should bring out those angels that they might commit homosexual abomination with them, he told them, do not this wickedness. I have two daughters that are virgins. Can you see the length he was willing to go? That means Lot knew that these men were not ordinary men. He said, I have two daughters that are virgins. I will bring them out. Do whatever you like with them. But upon these men, don't touch them. Can you see how much he esteemed those men? That he was willing to sacrifice the innocency of his two daughters. But he didn't stop there. The Bible says, those men, when they brought Lot back in. Okay, look at verse 12. From chapter 19 from verse 12. Let's read. Genesis 19 from verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, as thou hear any besides, son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Go on, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto who? Most of us don't know that Lot had more than two children. Lot had more than two children. His sons-in-law, which married his daughters. That means he had daughters that were already married. Different from the two that were with him in the house. But they were not saved. It was only those with him in the house that heeded to what the angel said that was saved a lot. He had more than two children. And he's used plural, sons-in-law, which married his daughters. So there can be two or more. Two or more than two. Okay, so back to verse 17. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. That is the message that God is giving you and I today. Because the days of Sodom and Gomorrah are upon us. God is telling us in the Bride Assembly Church, God is telling the Bride of Christ around the world, escape for thy life. He's telling us, look not behind thee. Many of us are looking behind. We used to sing a song that the things I used to do, I do them no more. But brother and sister, have those things started creeping into your heart again? God saved you from fornication, and yes, now you're no more fornicating. But have you started flirting with a sister again? You are looking behind. Have you started indulging yourself in the entertainment of this world today? Have you started thinking back? I remember the days I used to wear my trouser. My beautiful shape will come out. And you're already fantasizing in your heart. You are looking behind. He says, look not behind thee. He says, don't look back. What captivates you? What to look at? What captivates you is what captures you. So when he says, don't look back, he's telling you, don't be captivated so that you will not be captured. I'm surprised that a Christian will have E entertainment in his house or her house, and you are watching E, the most ungodly TV station I know on DSTV, you are looking behind. A Christian is watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You are looking behind. Look not behind thee. Brother and sister, what are you going to the cinema to do? To watch The Passion of Christ or The Ten Commandments? Or you go and watch a film where a man and a woman that are not married in real life are kissing themselves. You are looking behind. Have you started comparing yourself with your friends? I'm supposed to be better. I'm finer than this person. I'm more intelligent. Don't look back. Look not behind thee. That is the message. If ever you are going to escape the judgment coming upon the world, the Lord is telling you, do not look back. The Bible says, he that has put his hand in the plow and looked back is not worthy of the kingdom. It's not time to say, yes, sir. Let's think deep and know if you are guilty of it. Look not behind thee. And these things happen to us in subtlety. You will not know. You will not know that you are already backsliding. The Bible speaks of the backslider in heart. You first backslide in heart before we see it physically. Are you looking back? Look not behind thee. God has saved you from the worldly fashions of this world. Why are you still using your phone to check, you know, to keep up with the latest? You are not wearing it, but you are still checking. You are following it. You are following it. On Instagram, you are following what you are not practicing. You are looking back. Look not behind thee. That was the message to Lot. If you are going to be saved, do not look back. Verse 17 again. Gave him three commandments. In escaping for thy life, he says, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Your spiritual life is supposed to be advancing. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the just is a light, is as a light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But you've been a Christian for 10 years and you are not getting better spiritually. You are staying in the plain all night. One of the evidences, characteristics of living things is what? Growth. So if you are spiritually alive, you will spiritually grow. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Look not behind thee. God has brought you out of the world. Stay away from worldly entertainment. This has become such a cancer among Christians today. If you want to watch TV, watch programs that will edify you. And thank God for godly stations like Bright TV. What you watch influences you. As a youth, the thing that corrupted me the most was TV. Many of you don't even know, many parents don't know what we do in the youth fellowship. You think we gather your children together to sing love songs to them. You might have a teenager in your house and you will not know what he's doing. But freely, they discuss with us because we've been through it and we know how to get it out of them. What corrupted me the most as a teenager, I remember, was TV. Those days, I'll buy music videos, a VCD of music videos, and watch how these useless American sinners are messing up themselves. I'm sowing the seed of immorality in my heart. And then when there's room for it, it began to manifest. There are so many characters today that we get is from what we watch and what we hear. Look not behind the Christian. MTV based channel, Channels that don't say anything or do anything that affects you spiritually. These are perilous times. You must be investing in kingdom. You must be investing to grow spiritually, not waste your time and allow the devil deceive you. What all of us, many people know, is how to cast out witches and wizards. You are casting out witch and wizard, but Satan is dining with you. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. That was what he told Lot. Because if you begin to look back, the city of Sodom was so beautiful, it will begin to attract you And you might start doubting. You're supposed to be going. You might start doubting. A second look is too dangerous. It can wreck you. There are some friends you need to cut off. It is not discrimination. It is revelation. There are some people you need not to work with. It's not an issue of discrimination. It's because of revelation. Evil communication corrupts good manners. So it's not everybody you take as a brother and a sister. It is part of looking back. If I relate to you and all I remember is Egypt, all I remember is Sodom, then it builds me right to stay away from you. Whether we attend the same church or not, whether you're a minister in my church or not, whether you sing at the choir or not, look not behind thee. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in the plain. Keep moving forward. Some of us don't even know the weight of some songs we sing. If you won't go, don't hinder me. But you are allowing yourself to be hindered by somebody that doesn't want to go. Jesus kept saying it. Many are called, few are chosen. I know too well to think everybody sitting here today is a Christian. I'm not saying I will not relate to you. In fact, I will relate properly with you. But you cannot be my inner circle. Because I'm not, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. When I'm with you, I am not being sharpened. I'm being blunted. You're blunting me. So I do what? I cut you off. I'm not discriminating. I'm walking by revelation. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Verse 17, let's have it on the screen again. Genesis 19:17. The last commandment. Look not behind thee. He says what? Escape to the mountain. That means the journey of salvation is a continuous journey. Let's see something in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Because so many of us misunderstand eternal security. Eternal security is a very, very true fact. But there are evidences of those that are eternally secured. Maybe you didn't get me. There's truly eternal security. Once saved, forever saved. But if you are truly saved, we know. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Don't forget, he's talking to those who are saved. He says, walk out your own salvation. People that don't believe in eternal security use this scripture to justify their facts, but they don't understand it. It did not say walk for your salvation. It says walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the next verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his pleasure. So if God is working in you, Proverbs 4:18. If God is working in you, your path will be like the light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You will keep growing. So when you are on a standstill in your spiritual life, you are no more escaping to the mountain. When he says escape to the mountain there signifies the heavenly Jerusalem, the presence of God, the place of safety. Escape to the mountain is keep going until you get there. Because you have received a little experience now, and maybe you see visions and speak in tongues, you think you have arrived. Why did Apostle Paul say, wherefore, let him that thinketh stand do what? Take it lest he falls. So don't you ever be on a standstill in your spiritual life. Every day you must cross-check yourself and know, where am I? How far have I come? Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, but escape to the mountain. That was the message of salvation to Lot. That is the message of salvation to me and you. But Luke 17:32 says something. Remember Lot's wife. The stories in the Bible are there to teach us. You can look at a story and from it, you can give a prophecy, or you can have an understanding of events happening in the world, or you can even have an understanding of spiritual things. For instance, the story of Samson makes me know that you can be genuinely anointed and yet completely unconverted. The story of Samson. Samson was so anointed and so unconverted that he stood up from a prostitute, carried the gates. When they say gate of city, it's not gate like this. Oh, the gate must have been some maybe 40 or 50 or 60 feet height. Carried it on his shoulders, walked 40 miles and climbed a hill, standing up from a prostitute. That is one of the things you learn, that the fact that the man can do like this, the man is so anointed, can perform wonders and signs genuinely by God, doesn't mean he's converted. The story of Samson teaches us that. The story of Esther makes us know that many are called, few are chosen. And the only way to win the queen's king's heart is to do that is pleasing before him. The story of Lot is also teaching us salvation. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife is a very, very unique character. Because she heard the message as she was coming out, she heard all that the angels told Lot. Escape for the life. Look not behind thee. Do not stay on the plain, but escape to the mountain. But what happened? The truth is, there are several reasons why Lot's wife could have looked back. One of it that most of us don't know is that she still had some children in Sodom. We saw it now. It is only the two daughters in the house that went with her. So it might not be because Sodom was attractive. It might not be. I'm only giving the scenario. It might be, I'm escaping my two children. My children are behind that are married to these Sodomites and they did not come. My children are behind. And she looked back. Brother and sister, the Lord Jesus said, if your right hand will offend you, cut it off. There will be no excuse that it's because of my husband, my wife. It's because of my friend, my business partner, my brother and sister that I did not attain unto God's standard. Lot's wife looked back. It might be because of the children. It might be. It's the truth. The Bible did not say why she looked back. The Bible only put a statement, remember Lot's wife. So there is no price too high to pay for the kingdom of God. There's no price too high to pray for the kingdom of God. She looked back. God did not pity. Maybe she's looking back because of her children. The Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Look not behind thee. What if she looked back? Maybe because Lot was one of the great men in Sodom. Maybe the glamours of Sodom were still shining in her eyes. Or maybe she didn't even believe the angel's message. This one that they say, fire, fire, fire self. Rapture, I beg. Which rapture? They've been talking about the coming of the Lord for the past 2,000 years. These people and these are rapture. These angels and these are fire. In fact, let me see self. What are they saying? She looked back because she doubted the message. We say Jesus is coming soon. It sounds like these people are speaking gibberish. Many of us are not convinced about the rapture. Our lifestyle declares it. That could have been the estate of Lot's wife. This thing about destruction, if I beg, these people, their own is too much. Their own is too much. This beautiful city. Why will God destroy it? Why will God destroy it? Let me even see if it's true. Let me see if it's true. And she looked back. I remember before I repented, I used to say, Lord, I'll go to school, go to university. When I finish, I'll repent. That's what I used to say. I knew I should serve God, but that was before I came to this church anyway. I already gave myself an at this so time. Because I was thinking I want to enjoy the world. That is the thing with some of us. Yes. Later. Tomorrow may be too late. Even if Jesus does not come for the world tomorrow, do you know when you will die? Who told you that you must live 70 years or 100 years? God is not interested in how long you live, but how well you live. There is no award in heaven for how long you lived. There is no applause and crown for you, Methuselah, because you live long. No. There is only award, applause for those that lived well. We must begin to live with eternity in view. It is not a big deal that people are dying, even in the church. Why are we making a big deal of it? Any preacher that doesn't preach death, the person is preaching an unbalanced gospel. Death is in the Bible. Death is in the Bible. The person is preaching an unbalanced, death is in the Bible. Believers die. Believers die. If you are still alive, it's because God wants to achieve a purpose for you. Don't think you are alive because some of, and we hear Christians, some of them say it jokingly, but it causes me to know their content. A believer will say, let Jesus not yet come. Oh, I never marry. I never born pikin. I never build house. If you have such a mindset, you are not ready for heaven. People that were ready for heaven, their mindset was, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, is profit. So they were saying it's better for me to die. But if I will live, I have to labor for the kingdom of God. Many of us are not living to labor for God's kingdom. We are living to labor to enjoy this world. Death is not a big deal. Death is not a big deal. It is not a big deal. It is not a big deal. You can die today, you can die tomorrow. It is not a big deal, whether it's by stroke or accident. The emphasis is die right. It's not a big deal. Death is in the Bible. And please, he has the key of death and hell. That means nobody can take my life if God does not permit it. That means if I should die tomorrow by a car accident, it's because God permitted it. It is not because I'm prayerless. Death is not a big deal. We will all die. We will all die. When they killed Stephen, he died, rejoicing. They killed James, he died. Peter said he was unworthy to be crucified the same way with his Lord. They turned him upside down. If it's today, Christians of today will reject such a death. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Death is not, and please don't say, what are you preaching? You are preaching something that is not realistic. When I caught this understanding, I made it, it was settled in my life that if I'm still living a day, I'm living for God's purpose. Death is not a big deal. So let's wake up. It might come for you tomorrow. Your prayers will never prevent death. That if God has said you are coming tomorrow, wake up and begin to, are you ready? Are you living with eternity in view? If it truly comes for you tomorrow, what will happen to you? Each man will give account of himself, not account of whether he lived long or not. It was whether he lived right or not. Better wake up. Don't let anybody deceive you. If you like, attend prayer meeting for all the Fridays in the year. If God has determined you are dying this year, no anointing. Let's carry all the oil and bath you with it. No anointing will save you. Prepare. You are not in this world to live forever. You are in this world to prepare for eternity. So wake up. Many of us who maybe have not even reached 50, you are still postponing the serving of God. You know you should serve him more and live better for him. But the things of this world are still too much in your sight. Oh, let me just, when I get old, I will live perfectly with God. You might not live up to that age. Remember Lot's wife. So the world was too beautiful. Sodom was too beautiful. Another scenario. And she looked back. And there was no mercy. When the message of salvation, of escape is given to you, and you disobey it, there is no second chance. Lot's wife never had a second chance. Lot's wife did not receive mercy. As soon as she disobeyed that simple message, she was destroyed with them. Remember Lot's wife. Brother and sister, what is making you look back? What is making you to drop the cross? When he says, if any man will come after me, he should pick up his cross and follow me. My brothers and sisters, are you still carrying the cross of Jesus? Are you compromising your life because of present material gains. Are you compromising your life because of present life acquisitions? Are you compromising your life because of some ungodly relationships? Remember Lot's wife. If it were other children that made her to turn back, then that friendship or relationship can also destroy you. If it was the glamours of Sodom that caused her to turn back, it can also destroy you. What is making you turn back? I want you to begin to look inwardly. This story is not there to, it's not theme, it's not there to excite us. It's there so that we can learn from them and properly align our life. How will it be that you came to Bride Assembly and you heard what you've never heard before? Rapture, coming of the Lord, day of the Lord, and then the rapture, you missed it. What will become of you? If you still doubt, why not go in sincerity before God? Father, confirm the reality of this rapture to me indeed. If you are still doubting, why not go and say, Lord, confirm the reality of your kingdom to me. I want to live for you the right way. But there's still this unbelief in me. Go sincerely and God will do something. It can even cause you to see heaven. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Is it money that is making you to look back? Is it fame that is making you to look back? Is it applause and popularity? If I dress as a Christian, I will not look too beautiful. Many sisters are looking back because they want to marry. And who told you a man of God, a child of God, will be attracted to you that is dressed as a daughter of Satan? Are you looking back? Is it your children that is making you look back? So many of us, our children have become gods to us. Remember Lot's wife. If she did not pay any heed to the angel's message and she missed it, what makes you think you can't miss the rapture? Remember Lot's wife. Can we bow our heads? No, it's not time to clap. Just bow your heads. Let the musicians help me with this song. Come and take your place. Oh, remember Lot's wife. Come while the musicians are singing that song. I don't know who would love to come to the altar. I know there's social distance. I don't know who would love to come and just kneel before God and say, Lord, help me. Come and take your place. You are free to come. Come and talk to him and say, Lord, I want to make it. I don't want to end up as Lot's wife. Lord, I need your grace and strength.
Hallelujah. Come.
Are you looking back, brother and sister? If he comes for you tomorrow, what will be your testimony?
Yeah.
Jesus, keep me. Can we stand up and sing that song? It's a prayer. It's a prayer. Yeah. May the Lord answer our prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those at the altar physically here, Lord, may you increase your grace upon them. Help all of us, Lord, to live a life worthy of the gospel we have heard and we preach. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. You may go back to your seat. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. You have been blessed by that admonishment. Can you put your hands together for our God?
Hallelujah.
Put your hands together for Jesus.